really going through it. Zach went through it in Sunday school and probably did 10,000 times better job than I could dream of doing. But we got different brains and we think different. The Lord gives us stuff different. So I'll give you, you know, a little bit of what he done for me. We went down through there, started in verse 16 last week, and we got started in Romans because Jesus said to Peter, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that carried us on over into the book of Romans, and between that war that goes on between the spirit and the flesh. And so I figured, you know, it'd be good for us to back up. Every time I want to do something in the book of Romans, I have to go back and get the previous chapter. And then when I get in that chapter, I have to go back and get the previous. So I figured maybe we'll just go back to the beginning and just start going through. And last week we picked up in verse 16 of Romans 1. And we got down to verse 24. And man, I'm telling you, I don't know if you enjoyed it, but I sure enjoyed it. I didn't know I was going to have that much fun in the house of God last week, but it was a joy. God blessed your pastor last week in Romans 1. And man, helped me with some things. I'm telling you, these things that God does and God says when I had no intentions and no thoughts of it, then God brings the stuff out, sometimes just reading the Bible. And so I'm going to pick back up in verse 16, but we're going to kick in at verse 25. We stopped at verse 24. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness." The wrath of God's revealed. Zach said something about that this week. He said a lot of things. I mean, for some reason, for the last couple of weeks, it's just gonna jail. And who hold ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. People know the right thing to do and still live wrong. They know right from wrong and still live wrong. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Hey, let me stop right there. Can I? And just try to read you something real quick. Let me read this verse to you one more time. And then, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now flip with me, if you will, over to Psalms chapter 19. I had no intentions of doing this, but it just popped in my mind, so I'll do it. I don't have an outline, so I just have to preach what comes to my mind most of the time. God knows how dangerous that can be. Yep, there it is, Psalms 19. Talking about seeing those invisible things from creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. The days, ladies and gentlemen, today God has something to say out there. It says a whole lot. If we just stop and listen and look for a minute, there's a lot that it says out there. There's a lot of things that just invisible things that are seen. Day unto day other speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Do you understand? I don't care if you're in Hawaii or Japan or Africa. The same thing you and I get out there is the same thing they'll get. The same stuff that we see is the same stuff they'll see. Let me move on. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Talking about the invisible things of God, the creation of God. Their line has gone out through all the earth. And the words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the world? What is this world? What did God just say it was? It is a tabernacle for the sun. It's a place for the sun to dwell. Amen. That's what the world is to him. It's a tabernacle for the Son. Man, boy, I mean, I'm telling you, it gets spiritual too. I'm telling you. Their line going forward, the tabernacle of the Son. Verse 5 says, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Can you see that? The Son is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. When that Son comes up in the morning, God said, look, that Son's telling you something. It's coming up like a bridegroom out of its chamber. My goodness, man, there's some good stuff in there. You can't hear it with the natural ear, but I tell you, you read this Bible, and man, I'm telling you, it starts screaming some things at you. Boy, everybody likes to see them sun. Well, some people would rather sleep. Then he said, which bridegroom cometh out of the chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. What does the sun do, ladies and gentlemen? It comes up over there on the east side, and it races over to the other side. I mean, man, it crosses the world every day. Thing goes. You say, well, listen, the other day, it didn't. Yes, it did. The sun comes up every day. Amen. Well, there may be some clouds in the sky underneath it. Those clouds are saying a whole different thing, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that's the firmament that God said. You can hear the firmaments, man, declare the glory of God. Them clouds, doesn't matter if the clouds are there or not. Beyond those clouds is the sun. It came up. And it's going to race across this world again today. It's amazing, isn't it? They declare the glory of God. The creation does. And then his going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect. Is it converting the soul? Boy, ain't that a blessing? Zach got to tell him about that law a while ago. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? This has got, this is just coming up. Well, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? We talk about the gospel, you know, preaching the gospel. What is the gospel? I'm going to tell you what the gospel starts with. Don't ever forget this. The gospel starts with the law of God. That's where it all begins. I'm going to tell you, if you get over there to grace without the law, it's another gospel. Do you understand that? You'll never get to the grace of God Almighty. That old message Brother Lester Roloff preached, Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. How did you get to Dr. Grace's office? Dr. Law took him, amen. Dr. Law showed him and examined him and showed him that he had a sickness, that he had a heart problem, that he had a sickness unto death, and thank God, Law couldn't fix it, so he had to take him to Dr. Grace. Amen. Didn't charge him a dime. Good message, boy. Listen to it on YouTube sometime. On Lester Roloff preaching Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. Bless your heart, man. It'll bless your heart. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, always starts with the law. Amen. And from there, it'll take you to the grace of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's a good chapter. We'll go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I just wanted you to see over there in Psalms chapter 19 some of the stuff that declares the glory of God. You can't hear the voice of the Son, but I'll tell you one thing, it has a lot to say. Sure, it says a whole lot. It's like old S.M. Lockridge said when Jesus Christ was on the cross, and they was mocking him and telling him come down, and they was doing all that their little heart was wanting or desiring to do to him, and he said he never said a word, but he said that silence seemed to say a whole lot. Right? He said in the silence that Jesus had on the cross, the silence said, I'll show you that it's better to come up out of a grave than it is to come down from a cross. Amen. That's what the silence on the cross said. Ain't that a blessing? It took a black man to figure that out. White man could have never come up with that. That's S.M. Lockridge. Then he said, where was we at? Romans 1. Okay. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody has an excuse. If you've ever seen the sun come up, bless God, you can't go to hell with an excuse. Amen. Nobody's got an excuse. Right. If you ever seen the stars in the sky, if you ever heard a bird sing, if you ever watched one fly across the sky, you can't go to hell with an excuse. Nobody has an excuse. Because that bird flying across the firmament, ladies and gentlemen, is declaring the glory of God. Sure it is. All this stuff, all the creation of God declares His glory. And man alive, hallelujah. You can't eat fish and go to hell with an excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. Listen, did you hear that? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. I said there was a time on earth where everybody on planet earth knew God. May not be that way today. Still no excuse. They may not have a preacher, they may not have a church, they may not have a Bible, but they got a sunrise, hallelujah. They got birds that fly across the air. They got stars that hangs in the sky. They got a moon that reflects the glow from the sun. They got all of the things of nature, creation, declaring the glory of God. Man. But there was a time, we said, where everybody knew God, Matthew. When they got off the ark, there was 8 people on planet Earth. Every one of them knew God and did not. They wasn't but 8. And you couldn't get all 8 of them to honor God. You couldn't get 8 people that was on planet Earth to honor God. Isn't that amazing? How much more you think it is today with the millions and millions and millions of people on planet Earth? If you can't get all 8 of them and all there is 8, if you can't get 8 of them to praise God and worship Him and honor Him. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, in the congregation our size, ladies and gentlemen, you'd think that, man, people here just honor God, but we don't. Not everybody here honors God with their life. No different than then. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And when I said thankful, that's where I got that idea. If you remember 2 weeks ago, I said we need to be thankful for the good things and thankful for the bad things. Ladies and gentlemen, I still believe this. There's some people in this congregation, you have some real character. You have some real quality. You have some real good things about you. And it did not come from being on a mountaintop or winning the lottery. It come from the hard times and the hard knocks in our life. It's what makes us what we are. It's what instills and builds that character in a person. It's what builds them good qualities. Them hard knocks, them tough times, them trials, them storms that come our way. Sure. Just can't stay there all the time. Every once in a while, God has to give us a break on this old weak, feeble flesh and let us get up on the mountaintop and not grow and just glow for a while. That's right. Then He has to knock us back down and let us grow a little bit and put us back down there in a valley or in a storm or in a trial or in a hardship or a hard knock and let us get some more character. If we stayed up there all the time, we wouldn't be worth shooting. No, it wouldn't be worth shooting. You know, the best times in my Christian life was when I was dead broke, didn't have 2 nickels to rub together, and didn't know where we was going to get our next meal from and how we was going to pay the light bill. The best Christian times in my life. That was when I was closer to God than any other time in my life. When everything was going smooth, man, I was up on the mountain, everything was going my way. I didn't necessarily need God up there. Everything was going good, man. I tell you, we need to realize we need Him no matter where we're at and what we're going through. Let me hurry. My goodness, I ain't even trying to preach. Just trying to get to verse 25. But neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And my God, we've seen that. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed beasts, and the creeping things. Ladies and gentlemen, that's I said the other day, and I want you to get it. That is Satan's copy of the cherubims. That's Satan's copy. Them cherubims represent worship. And this is where people are worshiping the creature more than the Creator. They're worshiping the devil, the things of date, the devil. They're worshiping man. They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping all kind of things other than God. And those cherubims was gathered around the throne of God, and people worship Him. They represented that worship, that presence of God. And here the devil is counterfeiting those cherubims right here. It's a good study if you'll look at them. And then he said, wherefore? Because of this, ladies and gentlemen, because people did this, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And let's pick up in verse 25. Oh, I got an advertisement. There's still time at Target to get 25% off. Then he said, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Did you hear that? Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now folks, this is not people that's went and got them an NIV Bible. This is not people that's got them a New King James Bible. This is people, Miss Holly, that have literally taken the King James Bible and turned it into a lie. They didn't go and exchange their Bible for another perversion, but they took the one and only Bible and made it fit what they wanted it to fit. Now we see that a lot. I hear that a lot. I hear people take these scriptures and twist them and turn them, and what they're doing is they're turning the truth of God into a lie just to accommodate their lifestyle, to accommodate their mindset, to accommodate what they think and what they do and how they want to conduct their lives. And so they take the scriptures of God and they turn them into a lie to make it seem like what they're doing and what they're saying and what they're thinking is right.
That's right.
Here's what God wants. Do not take the Word of God and accommodate your life. Take your life and accommodate the Word of God. Amen. It ain't the Word of God that needs to line up with our life. It's our life that needs to line up with the Word of God. And folks, that's what he was talking about. Agreeing with God against yourself. Oh, dear God, how far we are. People today can't hardly see their faults and their failures and their enmity against God. God is the one that called it enmity. God's the one that said this stuff. We don't fool Him. If there was something in my heart today, I want my congregation to understand something. If there was something in my heart today against God, I would be more than glad to stand here without being arrogant, without being puffed up, but I would be more than glad before you to display how you say, my God, in these areas in my life, I have failed God. There's times in my life where I don't love Him. There's times in my life where I have literally hated the things of God. And if there was something that I could point out right here, right now, I would set that example before you. It's okay, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I don't know how Americans can't see this, but it's okay to tell God that you hate Him. It's okay to tell God, I hate you. I hate you. I hate God. It's okay to tell God that. It's what's coming out of our heart. He said, with your lips, you say all kind of good things. You serve me well. But man, that heart is what I'm listening to. And out of your heart is coming this evil, this hate, this disdain, this contempt for God Almighty. God knows where we stand with Him. The best thing we'll ever do is come to terms when we see ourselves as God sees us and be able to say to our holy God, and He's not going to kill you. Okay? He's not going to kill you for telling Him the truth, for telling Him what's in your heart. For once in your life, God might be pleased with something that you said. Something that's coming out of your mouth might be a sweet smell in His nostrils because you just admitted honestly what really was in your heart. And God says, I'm pleased with that. God says, I'm pleased with that. Your mouth is lined up with your heart. You say, how do you know it's in my heart? Because it's how we live. Right. You tell me how you live. We can see how we live. We know people don't give a flip about going to the house of God. Let me end this real quick. How many chapters of the Bible you read this week? Tell me you love God. It's okay. How many chapters of the Bible have you read this week? I'm not being some jackleg up here. I'll be honest with you, my Bible reading's been really down this week. Okay? I'm not being hypocritical. My Bible reading's been really down this week.
I mean, I've been under conviction. I've let my Bible reading slip this week. Oh, I've read it, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I wouldn't be that sorry. But I ain't read it like I could or should. Everybody can say that, but I mean, my God, who's read 10 chapters a day? I should have read 10. That's normal to read 10 chapters a day. I ain't read 10 chapters a day this week. Preacher, that's a lot. Not really, not if you love it.
That's right.
I work 10 hours a day. I work 8 hours a day. Some of us work 16 hours a day. I mean, we do everything. We can watch TV for 10 chapters a day. We can do all kinds of things for 10 chapters long a day. Besides read the Word of God. But we love God.
That's right.
Let's end this junk. Let's get honest. Let's say, you know what? God, you know what? I thought I was deceived. I really thought. And God, it's hard for me to confess. It's hard for me to tell you the truth. But God, you said if I love you, that I'd read your Bible. God, I don't read your Bible. So ladies and gentlemen, God don't straddle fences. God don't have 50 shades of gray. God don't have a bunch of maybes. God has yeses and nos, ins and outs, rights and wrongs, right, loves and hates. That like business, it's a whole different world. Say, I like God. Who don't? Who don't like people that's got his character? Everybody likes him. I mean, the devil likes him. He hates him, but he likes him. He knows he's got good character. You say, how do you know he likes him? Because the Bible said in the book of Job that when the sons of men came up to God, Satan came also with him. I'm going to tell you who you like to hang around. People that you like. The devil loves to run up out of God. Be an accuser of the brethren. You know why? Because he likes him. We like people that we hang around. If you don't like them, you don't go around them. That's right. I'm just trying to say it one more time. I've been trying to preach this to my wife for 2 weeks. The reason people don't like kids, because in kids most of the time, either the grown-ups are brat or the kids are brat.
Right.
And I've seen grown-ups that were brats and couldn't like kids because he's a grown, sneaking brat and he just hide and be. But then again, I've seen kids that wasn't disciplined and nobody wants to be around them. Nobody wants to be around an undisciplined kid. I told on my granddaughter this morning, not because I didn't like her. Little sorry thing, I told on her. Not because I didn't like her, but because I love her. And I told her daddy, I said, I'm telling on her because I want you to discipline her because I want people to like her. Right? Get these old kids, don't know how to shut up, sit and run their mouth to grown-ups, talk back to grown-ups, and don't know how to be still. Dear God in heaven, man, people don't like being around that. You say, how you know? Because I was the same kind of kid. I mean, I had discipline in my life. I'd get around my grandma on that plumb stoop, but she couldn't stand being around me half the time. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her one bit. Get around her and just start acting crazy and talking crazy and carrying on a bunch of junk. What in the name of God? God don't act like that. He don't carry on. People with a little bit of discipline in their life is very likable. Sure. Very likable. That's why one of the reasons why it's important. I want people to like my children. I want people to like me. I want people to like my wife. I do. I want people to like my family. And I want people to like my God. Sure do. He said, who changed the truth of God into a lie? They just changed the Word of God to fit their lifestyle. Listen, folks, this ain't... Last week we said it. This ain't the heathens doing this stuff. This is people that knew God. This is people that's heard the King James Bible. This is people that's got a preacher and a church and a Bible. And they've got all that stuff. And yet they're the ones that's doing this stuff to God. They take in the Word of God. Hey, listen. I don't have a whole lot of people with problems with the beer drinkers down there at the juke joint and the crack dealers down there in the dope house and the prostitutes. I don't have a whole lot of issues with them. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But you can go to your average Baptist church in America today, and I promise you, they twist them scriptures to fit whatever they want it to say. It's absolutely amazing how people can do what they want to do and take and rest some scripture for their own destruction. Twist it and turn it.
That's right.
Well, the Bible says, you can break fellowship with somebody because they're going the wrong way from God.
And there comes a time, ladies and gentlemen, where you have mercy and all that kind of stuff. But there comes a point and a time where you're going to have to end it and break fellowship with certain people for certain things that they're doing.
Yeah.
Got to break fellowship. And then when you do, here's what they do. They start coming at you. You know, they start calling you judgmental. And they take scriptures and start twisting them up, and they change the truth of God into a lie because they've got wickedness and evil and sin in their heart, in their life. And now they got to take and twist scriptures to make it fit them, to make you look like you're the bad one.
That's right.
And that happens more in religion than anything I've ever seen.
That's right.
Whatever happened to letting God be true? Huh? Just let God be true. And let every man be a lie. And whatever God says about it is what's right, church. Whatever God says about it is what's right. What I think about it, what I say about it, if what I say and what I think doesn't line up with what God says, then what I'm saying and thinking is wrong. That's all there is to it. And hey, I've been wrong before. And I promise you, if I live another day, I'll probably be wrong some more. Say amen. Shout over. You'll be shouting over that. Why do people do this? Sometimes I declare I think they do it to make money. They do it to build larger congregations and make everything seem as casual and non-offensive as they can. They've made their little compromises. Then they're going to change the Bible and they're going to call you judgmental or jealous. Do that. They change everything. They change their music. And I read a good thing the other day by, what's that guy, Ron Williams, up there at Hefts of a House. I read a good article in his little booklet that he sends out on the great. You remember that old song, The Great Pretenders? You remember that. Little jingle. And he talked about pretender Christians, pretender church members, pretender this, and pretender music, pretender. And he got on them pretender preachers. And old Ron Williams, of all people, y'all just had to know Brother Ron. He's talked about these preachers that put on their blue jeans and take their ties off and pull their shirt tails out and they get them a stool and they do away with the old pulpit. And I'll be honest with you, Don Crider told me, of all people, Don Crider, one of the nicest and easiest men, not a compromiser, one of the nicest and sweetest, easiest going men, just don't have a problem with people. He don't find, he ain't like me. Let's God, I got a problem with everybody. He ain't got a problem with nobody. He said, Brother David, he said, the reason people's getting rid of their pulpits, he said, they want to be exposed. He said, when you got that pulpit, he said, it kind of hides. You can hide behind the pulpit. We can see less of you and more of him. He said, these people, they're interested in seeing more of them. They got the right clothes. They got their little designer jeans on. You know, them little fag jeans. You know what I'm saying? The ones with the little pretty things on them. And they got their little gay shirts. And they got it unbuttoned. And they're so cool. And they look, I don't trust no man with a Fu Manchu. I ain't going to get on that. I don't trust men with Fu Manchus. I just don't. That's wicked as hell. You hear me? There ain't never been a time in the history of the world where that was good. Never. Look at me. Man, I see. I'm trying not to get on that, but somebody help me, please, chew this stupid, sensational junk out today. That's all it is. Look at me. An old, bald-headed man, bless God, got a gray goatee. What in the name of God's wrong with people? Look at me. Got more hair on his face than he does his entire head. Well, I can tell I ain't getting nowhere with that. So, I mean, just
I like it.
Amen. Thank you, Zach. Then the next thing you know, Miss Hannah, you look up there and you see that old sucker got him a foot. I see it all the time. Got a gray goatee and a stinking earring. The name of God's wrong with people. You know they're looking in the mirror going, that looks good. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they said, a man now looking in the mirror going, that looks, yeah, that looks good. That looks good. Spending that much time on himself, for God's sakes. I took a shower and got dressed this morning in about 15 minutes. Hey, amen. I mean from scratch, friend. Shaved and everything in about 15 minutes. Say amen back there to our Jake. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the Creator, the creature more than the Creator. Y'all leave him alone. Let me tell you what God said. 1 Peter 2, 8. He said in 1 Peter 2:8, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Why did I say that? Because I don't care what this world says. That gospel's offensive. It's never been my goal, church, to offend any one of y'all. That's not my mission. It doesn't do me any good to offend not a single person in here. Kaylee, I've never tried to come at you and hurt your feelings. Right. Doesn't do me no good to offend you.
That's right.
It's not easy to love and win the friendship of people that you offend like that. It's not easy. Right. It's not my goal. And the Perkins sitting back there, and the Asper family sitting over there, and God knows my mama, I ain't going to get started on that offense, but then, Santa Claus, God, help. Church, the Word of God's offensive. The Bible's offensive. It offended me. The Word of God just exposed me for the piece of junk that I really was. It offended me. But it ain't never offended me since I got saved. It just hadn't. No problem with that. What causes a person not to worship God? I got every one of y'all in here jiggling, huh? What is it? Oh, have mercy. What causes a person, listen, please, I got to hurry and be done. What causes a person not to worship God? When people change the truth of God into a lie. Why would you worship a God that His word is no good? What? That's what these people's done. They've changed the truth of God into a lie. When you start making the Bible fit you instead of fitting it, you'll not worship God. I've heard a lot of good things in my life about worship or the lack thereof, but nothing explains the lack thereof like this verse right here. Changing the truth of God into a lie. Listen, church. There's some here that don't even realize what I'm talking about. I have a clue. But when you make the Bible fit you, then you become the God. Do you understand that? When you take that book and make it accommodate your life, then you are what becomes the God. No big deal. God's used to us becoming little G's. Sure, happens a lot. Doesn't take Him by surprise. He's not sitting up there competing with us. He just knows it is what it is. You become the little God, and He's not the God anymore. Therefore, there's no adoration. When you can destroy His word, you've destroyed every good thing about Him. And when you destroy His word, you change the truth of God into a lie. Why would you adore somebody that's their word is wishy-washy? It destroys our relationship with Him, church. It destroys the worship. Hey, listen, preacher, I don't even know what you're talking about. Let me remind you what I'm talking about. When's the last time you worshiped Him? When's the last time we worshiped? When's the last time we was caught up in adoration? When's the last time that was the most important thing on planet Earth? You say, I don't believe. Now, that's exactly what the problem is. You don't believe it. Because that's exactly what it is. The most important thing that you can do is worship Him. Obey Him. You can't worship Him without obedience. It's a command. It's a demand. It's what we're supposed to do. It's what God's required of us to worship Him, to glorify Him. You change the truth of God into a lie. There's no need to worship. You don't even feel the desire in your heart, in your life, to worship Him, because the Word of God's nothing but a lie to you. Right. Why ain't you worshiping? Why ain't you overtaking of Him? Why ain't He just your all in all? Why ain't you standing in awe? Why don't we just stand there and just go, "My God, how great Thou art," huh?
Because His Word means nothing.
I promise you one thing. We get a hold of the Word of God and let it be what it is. And just let it say what it says and do what it does. Oh, dear God, there won't be no problem with worship. You'll find God's people tucked away somewhere in a little secret place just adoring Him. You'll catch them every little chance they can get, man, to get away somewhere to just be taken up of Him. And I'm telling you, man, they'll cancel out on a lot of things in life because they just want to be able to sit at His feet and spend time with Him. Why? Because that Word means something to them. It's the last time you worship. It was the last time you were taken up of Him. It was the last time you were overtaken by Him. Good questions. Oh, preacher, I love Him. Really? Just wants to get to the place where we can see this thing like God sees it. I'm not that smart of a person, but Miss Debbie, I can see it. We need the eyesight of God, ladies and gentlemen. God's the one that said that when we're blind. God's the one that said we can't see this stuff. He's the one that said we were blind and naked and wretched and we need His eye salve. What is His eye? It's the Word of God. That's the balm of Gilead. It's the very thing that's going to open your eyes. It's the very thing that's going to heal your soul. It's the very answer to every life's question and need. It's the last time you were overtaken by Him. When's the last time you spent 3 hours with Him and thought for sure it was 10 minutes. What is that? That's not a show. There's no quartet over there. Yeah. The sword of the Lord ain't coming to write an article about you. I'll tell you one thing. There's a God in heaven that just come over there and kissed you with the kisses of His mouth. And you just caught up in Him for about 3 hours. It felt like maybe about 10 or 15 minutes was the last time you've been overtaken by Him. Don't tell me you love Him. Tell me when's the last time you've been overtaken by Him. These things is good, man. Romans will help us. This book is here. It's designed, and my preaching may not be that good, but this book that I'm trying to preach is designed to help us and wants to. Listen, my God, don't let me get ahead of myself. God wants this out of us. He desires this out of us. Zach said something in Sunday school, and I'm going to reiterate it in a totally different way. But you don't deserve God. He deserves you. You were created for Him. I like what Brother Herbert said. He said something. I've been in church 50 years and 9 months. 50 plus years and 9 months while I was in my mama's womb, I was in the house of God. And he said something the other night. I was sitting right here. He said, you'll be out of place in hell. That's been said my entire life. I know that what he said has been said my entire life. But I heard it for the first time sitting right here Wednesday night. He said, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. If you go there, you will be out of place. You know what that told me? I was designed to glorify God.
That's right. That's right.
That's why God put me here. That my life might glorify Him. That my life might bring honor to Him. That I might worship Him and adore Him. Not that I deserve Him, but He deserves me. I never did anything to deserve the goodness of God. I deserve to go to hell in all reality. I deserve to be a stranger in that place of damnation. I deserve to be an outcast. I deserve to be a castaway. I deserve to be a nobody. But I'm telling you, God didn't create me for hell. He created me to praise Him. He created me to serve Him. He created me to worship Him. He created me to honor Him. What I'm talking about, honoring God with our bodies, with our lives. Honor God with your thoughts and honor God with your mouths. Honoring God with our eyes and honoring God with our ears and all of our senses. Just honoring God. Man, that don't sound right. Brother McVeigh preached on some things that don't sound right. Stay away from it and don't honor God. Some things don't look right. I mean, man, let's look unto Jesus. Some things don't taste right. Some things don't smell right. I'm telling you, we ought to stay holy on God Almighty. Let our lives bring honor to Him.
If there's any one thing the devil ever wanted to do, it was to make sure we never honor him, we never praise him. I tell you, it'd be good every once in a while just to hair lip the devil, just to reach back and praise God and stick your tongue out of the devil and tell him to go to hell anyway. God created me and you to praise him and to honor him. Don't nothing honor him like obeying his word. Nothing. Don't change it. Just take it for what it says. Change you. Amen. Why in the name of God can't we change us? Don't change the word. Brother Aspel said something one time. He said, and I'll be done with this thought. It's Christmas time. We're all going to get stuff, and many, many, many times we'll get us a pair of pants that don't fit. You can either change them pants or you can exchange them pants. But most time we carry them back and we get them exchanged for a closer size. Or you can take them over to Spring Taylor and get them changed into what fits you. And that's what people's done with the Word of God. They've changed it. Many people have exchanged it for NIVs. But here, they made it fit their life. They twisted it and changed it to make it say what they wanted it to say to custom fit them. Right. It's good. Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is what Paul said. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit. Oh, you see that? Another Jesus? It doesn't take God by surprise, ladies and gentlemen. There's other Jesuses. There's other Jesuses. Everybody has their own little Jesus today.
That's right.
Everybody has their own little Jesus, you know. I mean, it's the Jesus that fits their life. It's the Jesus that's convenient for them. It's the Jesus that accommodates them, whether it's the Jesus of prosperity or you know, I can live any way I want to and still be saved. That little Jesus, that's a heretic, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. That's bull malarkey. You hear me? Oh, God help us. Look, verse 26 says this, for this cause, listen, I got to hurry. I want to get through this. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Ladies, one of the greatest honor that you'll ever have on planet Earth. Hey, ladies, look at me. Every one of you ladies. One of the greatest honors you'll ever have on planet Earth is to be a mother and a wife.
That's right.
The greatest thing you'll ever do in this entire world is be a mother and a wife. Right. Not some big career, not some multi-millionaire, not some, you know, dream chaser. No, friend. The greatest thing that a woman can possibly be on planet Earth is the very thing that God put them here for. Raise and nurture up them children and to be that wife to that helpmeet to that man. What a great honor.
Amen.
What a great honor. What a great honor. God give us some of those. God give us those women that are real mothers. God give us those women that are real wives. I mean, thank God. This Jezebel world, it blows my stinking mind. All the wives of Orange County, the wives of California, the wives of Atlanta, the wives of hell. That's all just a bunch of Jezebels, man, running around, bless God, showing their breasts and running their mouth. Wouldn't know how to be a wife to their husband. Wouldn't know how to be a mama to save their stinking life.
That's right.
God's got over here tucked away somewhere where a camera never would dream to come. A little old girl that just wants to be a wife one day, wants to be a mama, wants to nurture up them children in the admonition of the Lord, wants to take that husband and be a helpmeet to him. And there's a God in heaven that's smiling on that, that's taking that in, that is pleased with that, that joys over you with singing. Because that's what God designed you for. Greatest thing you'll ever be is what God has intended you to be.
That's right.
For this cause God gave them up to their vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which was against nature. I said it 1,000 times. Why I love to see these little old girls running around here with these baby dolls. Not boy. I like to see these girls running around with these baby dolls. Hey, listen. All that does is tells me there's a natural thing that God put in there for them to be mamas. Amen. God put that in there. The little girls ain't but 2 years old. And man, you can't give them enough of them little baby dolls. They like them baby dolls. Why? Because God has put something natural in them to be a mother and to care for others. Getting away from God, doing this stuff in here, gets a human being. Zach was talking about this stuff in Sunday school in a whole different way. It takes this stuff away from women. And God turns them over to these vile affections. Listen, there's never been a time in the history of the world where we've had so much lesbian activity as what we've got today.
That's right.
Exactly. It's as popular for a girl today to mess with another girl as it ever has been for her to have a boy.
Yeah. Right.
You're almost a weirdo today if you hadn't experimented with the same sex. And I'm telling you, it's coming completely to that. Boys and girls go to parties, bless God. I'm telling you, I know exactly what I'm talking about. Little girls, instead of going back there in filthy, foul, wretched situation and trying to please some little old boy, my dear God, they're going back there now pleasing some little old girl and can't even please each other, right?
Right.
Boys doing the same thing. Just told the other day that some sodomites out of one place went and got with some boys that had girlfriends. Was in fraternities. Is that what them boys were in, fraternities? Them fraternity boys, you know, the punks, the preps, the cool guys, the money boys down at the school.
Yeah.
They all got their little girlfriends. They got their little tramps. Mm-hmm. And they all get hooked up with these sodomites on the side.
Right.
You say, that's out of hell. You say what you want to, but God's the one that did it.
That's right.
God's the one that said, I'm going to turn you over to your vile affections. God's the one that said, I'm going to make a bunch of sodomites out of y'all.
That's right.
God's the one that said, hey, lady, I'm going to let you go over and be a lesbian. I'm going to let you just go against nature. I'm going to turn you over to your vile affections, and you're going to like things that ain't even natural. It ain't never going to bring you peace. It will never bring you happiness. God's not going to judge them for that, because according to Romans 1, that's what God's judging them with.
That's right.
I tell you something else, that's what God's judging people like me that loves my wife with too. I, as a child of God, as a straight man that loves God and a man and a wife and having children and two becoming one and doing this thing God's way, I have to sit in this America and suffer the wrath of God Almighty because of the wickedness that's going on in my country. I have to pay the price. I have to feel this pain and the suffering, the grief, you understand? The grief to God, the grief it is to me. Man, just the vileness that comes with that sin. God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you girls be lesbians and let you boys be sodomites. See how you like that? You want to change the truth of God into a lie? See how you like playing in the septic tank, boy. That's right, the nastiest junk in the world. You hear me? I'm talking about the nastiest thing on a man's body. He put another man right dead in it. Sure he did. He said, you want to change the word of God? You don't want to honor me? You don't want to do what's right? You don't want to let your life bring glory and honor to me? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you play in the septic tank, son.
That's right.
How much more judgment? How much more wrath? How much more does a man need than what he's already got? Dear God, I'm the one that's having to pay the price. Living amongst a generation, dear God, has turned their backs on God. There's not a greater honor on planet Earth, ladies, for you to be a godly wife and a godly mother and to raise some godly children. I'm telling you, that old Miss Wesley is a hero of mine. What was her name? Suzanne Wesley was a hero of mine. I read John Wesley's testimony in his biography. Man, I'm telling you, I love his mama. Do you hear me? I read about that man of God and his brother. And you know what I do, Miss Holly? I fall in love with her mama. What a woman of God. What a good woman. In all them years, she was lost. Just had enough of God about her and her character. Amen, son. I'm telling you, there was enough of the law of God written in her heart. She had a good enough conscience to raise children in the right way.
That's right.
I'll tell you something. This world can say pass whatever laws they will, but God created men and women to connect with each other. God created a man to like woman and a woman to like man.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what God did. And they can pass all the laws and they can have all the crooked stuff, and I hear people attacking it in the wrong way. I'm telling you, man, I say stuff to people and they think I'm crazy. I mean, these people that walks away from me because I say, hey, friend, you're attacking the wrong thing. God's the one that put them Supreme Court men up there so that they would pass that stinking law, because we're wicked as hell. And God's sick of our ways.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, it ain't because the sodomites that was over in San Francisco, California, God said, you know what, I'm sick of them. I'm gonna set some Supreme Court justices up there so that America can pay the price. No, he's sick of our ways, the people that knew him. Wouldn't honor him as God.
That's right.
And change the truth of God into a lie. And God said, you know what? I'll tell you what, I'll tell you what would be wrathful in this country if I just let them Supreme Court justices pass these wicked laws and let these people have to deal with this sin. Right. We're it. I can't get away from it. It's one of the greatest things I could possibly say. My people. If my people, which were called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll send them out here from heaven. I'll heal their land. Tell you, church, I believe God's looking for somebody to repent. Man, I believe He wants us to repent. And until we do, I'm telling you, there ain't going to be no change. It's not going to get any better. America's not going to see a revival until the people that are called by His name. Listen, judgment must begin down at first at the house of God. I mean, that's why I didn't really mind at all what Brother McVeigh got up on that Sunday morning and just blistered our hide in, because judgment must begin first at the house of God. I need it, you understand? I got to have it if we're going to see any move of God. Nowadays, due to perverts and sexual abuse, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing the fruit of sin come to the surface. That's why we're getting to see stuff today that we never dreamed of. I mean, this stuff is so prevalent. I've never dreamed of half of the stuff that I'm hearing about today. I never even thought this stuff even went on. I never even give it much of a thought. But because it's been happening for years and years and years now, God's starting to bring this stuff to the surface, and we're starting to see it and feel it. We're seeing girls hate men and men hate women. God's not trying to stop it. God's promoting it. God said, I'm doing this. I'm turning them women against them women, and them men against them men. Let y'all deal with this now. You want to change the truth of God? Deal with this. It is the judgment. God's sick and tired of rebellion. He's sick and tired of people that know Him and yet refuse to honor Him. We live in a world, ladies and gentlemen, that, and I'm trying to be done. We live in a world, church, that you can go down there to your average high school when they hand out contraceptives. They give condoms to the boys and birth controls to the girls. Yeah. And they're trying to pass laws where our insurance is paying for abortions and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's the world that we live in. Yeah. Ain't never been a condom big enough to cover that girl's brain.
Right.
Ain't never been a contraceptive big enough to cover that heart. The heart's still there. Oh, man, they might have been protected in some wicked way, but I'll tell you one thing, friend. There's an effect that's taking place on the minds and the hearts of the human race that no contraceptive, no world, nothing in this world can cover.
Amen.
It's going to take God giving them a license to go out and do things while it's destroying their hearts and destroying their minds, destroying their chances with God, destroying their chances with a decent relationship with a decent man one day, destroying their chances with raising their children the way God seen fit, raising their chances to be what God wanted them to be. There's nothing in the world that can cover that. Can you imagine all the damage that's done here? Men with men, women with women, people exploring all these different sins and destroying everything that's mentioned, all their heart and their mind, all of their imaginations just being continually evil. Can you imagine, as the slave owners, listen to me, can you imagine as if slave owners would rape them black women? Hey, welcome to America. Hey, come on. This is the land of the brave, the home of the free, or whatever. Go in there and rape them black women.
That's right.
That's right. Many of them did it. Some of them were good. I'm sure they was.
That's right.
They were probably decent to them. But there was many of them that was perverted and wicked as hell. And they went out there and they raped that little girl. They raped their wives and they raped their daughters.
Yeah, that's right.
And they took their emotions and they just ripped them apart. And they took their heart and they just stomped it in the ground. And they took their brains and they spit on it and said, I couldn't care less. And they turned and walked away after God had made them to bond one with another. Cleave, the Bible says, to cleave one to the other. And now they took it and took that cleave and they just ripped it apart. And God said, I'm sick of this junk. I'm going to let your son be a faggot now. And you can deal with that. That's what he's given us here in America. I'm going to let your daughter be a whore now. Right. I'm going to let your wife give herself over to adultery. Let's eat America alive. And we wonder why we're here. Because we knew him and didn't glorify him.
That's right.
And we've changed the truth of God into a lie. I love God. Ain't never been a bigger lie hatched out of hell than most of our hearts and lives.
Yeah.
I love God.
That's right. Yeah.
That's just a lie to hell.
That's
right, Zach. And imagine them little old girls being raped like that by their masters. I say this because in the Bible, God commanded even the slaves to be taken care of. Did he not?
Amen.
Sure he did. Tell you right now, buddy. If you had a concubine, you better take care of her. You study the laws of that concubine. God demanded that you take care of that woman you're sleeping with. Sure he did. And you better not give yourself to another woman. And she better not give herself to another man. But if she has a need, you better take care of that need. And I'll tell you something, friend. God didn't smile when they didn't. Some of them didn't. Some of them would rape somebody else's concubine. And somebody would abuse somebody else's concubine. And I'm telling you, that takes that very thing that God put in a man and a woman and just destroys it and turns it over to Satan. And I'm telling you, man, they're in a mess for the rest of their life. It takes a miracle of God to fix this stuff. We spend most of our life lying to ourselves and run out of time and getting this stuff fixed. Wonder why same-sex marriage is a go in this country, huh? I'm telling you, God's sick of our wicked ways. You ever wondered why the pharmaceutical companies are soaring? I agreed with Dr. Sachs and those people that those two doctors that wrote that Hooked. I agree with them. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, pharmaceutical companies, why Walgreens and the doctor's offices is doing so well. We've never seen the doctor. We don't have to keep preaching this. We've never seen so many pharmacists in all of our life. My God, when I was a kid, we had one or two drug stores. We had Eckerd Drugs and Refco, and they were worlds apart. That was about it.
Yeah.
You can't go down the road now. I mean, man, if there's a Walgreens, it's going to be a CVS. And then there's a Rite Aid. And then, I mean, somebody else just bought Rite Aid. And, I mean, it's just a world competition now. It's a big deal. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Everybody look at me, and I'm trying to hurry. You get right with God, you get where you're supposed to be with God, you can cut out some of the doctor visits and some of the pharmaceuticals. I promise you, you can pass Walgreens a little more often. When God gets a hold of this old thing, and he cleans this up, and he gets a hold of this thing, and he cleans this up, and we're walking in the Spirit of God, I promise you, it makes all the difference in the world. Say, I don't believe it. I'll tell you what, let's call on Dale Morey and see about that.
That's
right. Let's call on boy that used to live on about 18, 19 pills a day because of stupid sin in his life. He was raped and everything else, and it tore his heart and his mind all to pieces. And I'm telling you, man, this old sin perversion about destroying that old boy, God got a hold of him.
Amen.
And the same God that said, let there be light, looked at old Dale Morey and said, let there be peace.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that peace of God passed all understanding. I mean, when people say, man, that ain't right. Yes, 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 it's right. Yes, it's right. Yes, it's right. He's not lying about that. God is making free.
Amen.
Sure.
That's right.
Problem with that. You can too. You get where you ought to be with God. I'm convinced the vast percentage of our health problems is due to sin in our life. I do believe that. I believe that most of the people that Jesus dealt with sicknesses, the vast majority of the people he dealt with sicknesses, the first thing he dealt with was unclean spirits. And when he got the unclean spirit out of them, wow. What a difference it made.
Uh-huh.
You say, preacher, that's me. Listen to me. There's more unclean spirits than what we think.
That's right.
Hey, listen, it may not be necessarily something you went out. You may not have went out and had a seance. You may not have went and bought your Ouija board and started playing and brought this evil spirit on you. But somewhere along the lines, we picked up some evil spirits.
That's right.
And you may be an innocent bystander, but I'm telling you, them devil spirits, they don't give a flip how innocent you are. If they can attack you, they will. See, it's important, ladies and gentlemen, to walk with God. It's important to have the blood of Jesus. Well, I'm not going to go any further. Maybe we'll look at the rest of it after we eat lunch. Man, what a difference it makes when you just honor God with all that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Huh? I mean, with all that's within me, bless His holy name. Let my life, you know what, Zach, I don't like the laws that's being passed. I don't like it. I don't like the sin that's running rampant. There's nothing in the world that turns my stomach any more than seeing two men publicly be able to kiss each other. Just, I mean, it's, you know, perversion, it's just foul. But I tell you one thing, I can go to bed that night and have the peace of God flowing through my soul. My conscience can be cleared, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, if my heart and life is right with God, I don't have to sit there with guilt and shame in my heart, my life, and my mind. Man, there's a rest for the people of God. Do you hear me? There's a rest. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, God. Help us to realize, Lord, that this stuff didn't happen just because people didn't know you. This was to a people that knew you, that wouldn't honor you. People that took and changed the truth of God into a lie. Help us, oh God, not to change the truth, but help us change to the truth. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to honor you with everything that's within us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.